Welcome back to episode 188 of Tall Boy Radio. And yes, you are being treated to a late night edition of the podcast, or are you? Is that just about depends on where on this beautiful planet you actually are. So before we introduce our guest, who's got some very interesting things to say to us, and we hopefully have the right questions to ask him, I'm going to say hello to Dave and ask him why he's up past his bedtime.
I am up way past my bedtime, but my daughter's actually just started a job where she's working till midnight, so I've got to stay up to pick her up anyway, so it's not too bad.
There you go. There's always an ulterior motive with Dave. So, as we promised, we tried to do episode 187. There was a little bit of confusion over time zones, but he's here now with us. Did you want to say hello, Sam?
Sure do. G'day, Dave. G'day, everyone. It's good to be here on a beautiful sunny morning in Queensland. Winter hasn't really happened this year, but it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. So.
Well, it's good for you. It's good for you that winter hasn't actually happened, because, funnily enough, you know, here in England, summer hasn't really happened either. We've had a very rainy day. So this episode is titled, indeed, "The Earth is Flat." And this is, it's an interesting conversation that goes on, and it goes on the internet and in person. We wanted to hear the case for, to be honest with you. We're not interested in the case against. We only wanted to hear the case for. So I've thrown it out there a number of times, and God bless you, Sam. You're the only person who's ever picked up the gauntlet and said that you're willing to come on the podcast and discuss it with us. So we really, really appreciate you.
It's a good discussion.
What's that, sorry?
It's a good discussion. It should, you know, it should be discussed.
It should.
So it's a good discussion. You know, I hear so often, and it's one of the narratives that is, you know, it's tinfoil hat, and there's plenty of narratives that have been invented just for this time. There's just so many. I've just lost my chain of thought. Sorry, fellas.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We appreciate it. It's very, very early there. So, yeah, exactly. There is. And like you said, when you mentioned things like tinfoil hats and whatever, these are things that we've seen bandied around as well over the last couple of years, that the phrase conspiracy theorist has almost become to be used as a byword, as an insult for this person doesn't know what they're talking about. And, you know, we've sort of seen in the last 3 years, actually, people saying certain things that actually have turn out to be the case. We're not going to get into those. We don't want to get cancelled. But the Earth is, how did you first get involved in this movement? Where did you first have your doubts?
To be 100% honest, I mean, I was 17, and I was sitting on the ocean where I grew up in Western Australia, beach kid, you know, and I was looking straight out. I don't know why, but I seen the distance that I could see straight out, but then all I had to do was look left and look right, and it just went on forever, left and right. You know, and the distance forward didn't match. It just didn't match the distance sideways. So even then, I just, inside me, my intuition just said, it's flat. It's flat, baby. But then the journey, when I started this particular journey, maybe 11 years ago, I just wanted to know the truth. I just wanted to know the truth. You know, and a lot of people follow entertainers, containers, you know, and this is another setup, but I wanted to prove everything. You know, the scientific method, observable, measurable, repeatable. That's the only way. There is no other way. Because the things that you're playing with when you say, oh, truth, real truth, is your being, your what you support your existence on. And so it has to be correct, is my point.
No, absolutely. And I'd be interested. So what were the first steps you took then into investigating this?
Such a long journey. Tell you, I mean, I started out, in actual fact, the first thought that I had was, you must know your enemy. If you know that they're lying, and we know that politicians, do they ever tell the truth? No, you know, never. And they're always give with this hand, but take twice as much with the other. So I just knew in my heart, in my being, that things didn't add up like crepuscular rays. The height, you know, that the sidewards raise. I was a very good science kid. And even when I looked at things, it just didn't make sense. Because the experts tell you, then it must be so. And you get on with your life, making money, you know, getting in and out of trouble. And yeah. So then I started, then the Book of Enoch, actually, it was Ethiopian Book of Enoch came into my possession, a PDF. And then we hunted down and we found the original transcript that was translated in 1863. It was finished, but they found it in 1820 in the Ethiopian Bible. And I always say to people, just remember Bible means a collection of books. It just, that's all it means. And so you can have a Bible. I can have a Bible. Anyone can have a Bible. But this particular book was hidden there. And I would say that it was hidden there when they destroyed the Library of Alexandria about four and a half thousand years ago. And it went down the Nile, found its way into the Ethiopian collection of books, and just stayed there and hidden. They found it in 1820. Took them 60 years. But anyway, the description of home is just bloody phenomenal. It's incredible. The aspects and all of the physical observations that we see every day are all described in there, hidden under English, because English is a very confused language when they translate from other languages. English is designed to hide it, you know. So that book came into my possession, and I always keep a transcript here that I study, you know. I just study it all the time. And so that's a 6,000 year old book. That book is 6,000 years old, because all you got to do is the genealogy in the beginning of the KJV, and you go back to Enoch, supposed Enoch, which is also, his name is Idris from the Quran. Many names, many names. Another Muslim name is the Sha'im. So this is a 6,000 year old book, and it does, honestly, it has everything to the next tip of exactly where we are. It's just amazing. So this book came into my possession. Yeah. At first, I was ignorant and I was arrogant. No, I don't want to read it. You know, I don't want to read it. So I had it printed off, and I had it on my breakfast bar, just sitting there. And every time I walked in and out of the house, I'd see this thing. I don't know. And then this loud voice, soft voice, whatever. One time I walked in and it just said, "Read that book." And I'm like, "Oh, shit." So I started to read it and then observe the heavens, the sky, the sun, the moon, and the truth. You know, Buddha quote, the sun, the moon, and the truth are the three things that will not stay hidden long. So I knew then I had to look up. I had to look at the suns, the moons, the stars, and I had to work out how they work. How the really do they work? Because everything we're being told you can see is a lie. And no, our whole ball reality is designed from two sticks in the ground, I don't know, a few kilometers apart in Egypt, some 1500 years ago. That is the only proof. There is no other for the ball. So you've got to find, okay, the sun's lower, everything's different. The whole thing is not what you think. So we had to start from there, the sun, the moon, and the truth. So I had to look up, and it destroys the fake paradigms and thought states that we find ourselves in once you start looking up and seeing things for how they really are. The Egyptians knew, you know, you see so many pictures of in their carvings that, you know, the suns are everyone has their own sun. Everyone sees their own sun, sort of. So we're not actually the new kids on the block. We're not. We're all we're doing is remembering. That's all. Just remembering.
Now, I was going to say, it's interesting, to be honest with you, because a lot of people do refer at the moment to that ancient knowledge that was brought upon, you know, whether the Egyptians, the Mayans had a greater insight to the world than we do now in terms of their knowledge and where it came from, whether that be extraterrestrial or whatever you choose to believe. I have no issue with that. So my question is, and you know, I'm with you 100% of the way when you say politicians lie. I don't know one that doesn't, you know. And my question with this, though, is, and this is the one that bothers me, and maybe you could help me with it, is why would they lie about the shape of the planet? Yeah. What's to gain?
That's the first question everyone asks.
Okay, well, we started early, so you know that is my question. And I totally accept politicians do lie. I'm a great advocate for that statement, but why would they lie about this one? That's a curious one.
It's a very deep answer. It really is. But we live inside an electric realm, and it is 100% electromagnetic. Light is Eve, Earth is Adam, and we're made in the middle. And this realm has been taken over by entities, beings that had already seen how it works from the outside. Big gyroscope, basically. And they wanted this for themselves. So they wanted to go to work then. They knew that they had to stand up against the creators of this realm for their own survival, because they were designated to be put out. And so then they turned to breeding us, which they did. They basically bred us to their function, what they wanted was from us. And ever since, from that point, they've been using us to manipulate their ends of intermittent resets, so that it just starts again, starts again, starts again, starts again. We're on our fourth time around now, but this is what they've got to protect. They must protect their family. They have it. There's a different genealogy of man. We look at them and we don't see any different. I do now. You do once you know. The Nephilim bloodline is alive and well and full control, and they just are some evil bastards. They really don't like us at all. And this is the whole purpose of what's happening everywhere, all around us. And so they've got to protect this. I can tell you now through evidence that you can do it. Anyone can do it.
Sure.
The Pacific doesn't exist. It's not there. It's just a simple matter of measuring dawn between Western USA and me here. And at equinox, there's only 6 hours. At solstice, there's 12 hours. But it's never 18, like exactly they say it should be. No. This lie, they invented this flat circle originally. That's Vedic. So that's pre the Jesus reset. They invented like Buddhism and Hinduism, Vedic. Then they had this flat map, which was a circle. But all they did was the time from the Atlantic, put it out onto the Pacific to join the east and west edges together, and then created this. Yeah, it's weak as buggery. Then they went to the ball. From once they created the circle, then they could just wrap it and put it on a ball and basically have us on the outside when we're actually on the inside of the sphere. And they cause these resets, and these resets are a way of staying in full power. where they print the money, they create all of the psychological, cultural brainwashing, and never work. All they do is print money and just bamboozle everyone with total bullshit.
When you say a reset, we're on the fourth one reset. Now, the reset.
Well, when you do your
just research, what you mean by reset.
Yeah, when you do your research and your homework, this is what this is all about. You know, you see this everywhere, people are doing it and they're being programmed. That's the fifth. That's number five. That's the fifth age. So what they're trying to do now is go into the fifth age. So we had one original pretty big war. That was probably about 5,500 years ago. Then there's been three engineered resets. Jesus is one. That's a riddle. It's just a riddle of the reset. 3 days of darkness. And it's written also. I've studied the KJV pretty heavily. And because there's a lot of truth in there, but it's all riddles, just riddles, lots of really badass riddles. But again, the sun and the moon, they reveal it and open it up so you can see through the riddles. So resets, to be honest with you, Dave, everything they're doing is designed to stop the clock. It's designed ultimately. That's why they've got us designed to stop the clock, all right? Stop the sun and the moon. And most people are like, that's just too much, man. That's just no, that's not possible.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's not that hard. We live in a machine, and all they've learned is how to slow the rings to the point where they stall. And in that Book of Enoch, it actually describes one of the resets where you won't pick it up anywhere else. It's actually, there's a book in there where of Noah, and Noah's basically shitting himself. Not like the KJV, he's shitting himself. And he takes to his feet and runs to the end of the earth and yells three times, Father, fuck, to Enoch, Father, 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 what is going on? The earth is inclining. So when they stop the clock, the earth goes doosh, doosh. Right. And this is with all of the narrative pictures you see of big waves, you know, like 200-400 foot waves that they're putting through the movies and everywhere. That's what it is. You can do that, boom, and you kick back. That's why they've built all of the populations on the eastern seaboard, Australia, Africa, South America, United States. They're all on the eastern seaboard. So when it drops, pow, it's a simple job of cleaning out and start again. Mm-hmm. That's a reset.
So that's a reset now. So if we're in the fifth one, what's the danger of that sixth one? You know, where does that risk come from? What is it that triggers maybe the next reset? Is it something that we could potentially see
what
in our life?
What they're doing now, that they are very advanced. They've already knocked the moon out of time. The moon's completely out of time. The plants and everything are all flowering at different times and wrong times and fruiting at different times, because that's just manipulation of the earth's magnetic. See, it's all it is, because the plants can't lie either. You know, one of the things when you research it, and I don't know, it just bam, I can see it. And I've done a whole heap of diagrams and I've done videos and showing people, and they can see eclipses. Eclipses are not natural. This is how good their media machine is. It's amazing how they know us and know how to create realities, and people follow them. But when you do your research on, say, a solar eclipse, the moon is never in the same fucking sky. It's never there. It's never there. And that's only one issue. There's at least a dozen serious ass obvious reasons why it is not natural. But it's like I say, oh, but they can predict it, rah, rah, rah. Well, I can tell you I'm going to be down at the shop in a month's time, a year's time at 2 p.m. precise, and I'll be there. Well, shit, I just predicted, didn't I? It's not hard. It's not rocket science. You know, a rocket, you must have something to pull to create the force out the back to get movement. Well, space doesn't have any of that, does it? You know, rockets don't work.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's something I've always found curious. Listen, I am not a rocket scientist, so I cannot say that. I do understand it. But the nature of a vacuum, you know, propelling inside it is not something that I do understand. So what are your thoughts then on, the, you know, on 1969, July 20th, you know, that moon landing? What are your thoughts on that? Is that just media bullshit?
Yeah. I mean, and you've only got to look back now and with our knowledge and our technology now, and it is very obvious. You mean the pictures and the construction, the whole thing is like looking at maybe a five-year-old's artwork from primary school, you know, in comparison to what it should be. It's just amazing that we bought it, you know. We just bought it, hook, line, and sinker. But we don't think either. Fluoride does a good job on subduing our mental abilities to actually problem solve and think. So, yeah, look, mate, when you pay attention, you can't land on a light. What you see in the sky is just simply a holographic light. And I know, you know, to most people, that's going to sound like just really tough pills to swallow. But when you look, it's pretty damn obvious. It's just most of us don't look.
Well, it's interesting because it's something that while I've been looking into this, and let's face it, you know, I mean, I put a post on earlier today on Instagram that we were going to be doing this, and I had someone comment that I'm just a globie who's indoctrinated into the process. And maybe I am, and maybe this is my first step in that journey. I don't know. But I have read a lot about the sun and the moon, and they aren't what we are told that they are. So to you, what are those sort of celestial bodies?
Well, they are. They're holographic waves, and it can all be evidence. I can show you all the evidence. We've done lots of diagrams and everything that people see. We're actually working on a 3D animation at the moment. I've got one, but we're going to do a, you know, professional one. But they are holographic waves. The sun's original color, if you like, is not yellow. Before it projects through the pyramid prism, it's actually ultraviolet light. It's white light. That's why it breaks down. That's the Pink Floyd album cover, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it breaks down into the seven colors of the rainbow. But originally it's ultraviolet, which is why they always say the white rabbit down the rabbit hole, you know, the white rabbit or the unicorn. There's many, many of their symbologies that show it, but they're holographic waves and they're both the same size. They are both the same height, which ranges between in the clouds at morning and night, if you're in the right situations, and the P900 camera helps. And then at noon, at zenith, they're probably around 12 kilometers, what your eye perceives. That, you know, and it works in reverse. Again, when it leaves or they leave, they're greater in size and less intense, yet they're greater in size. Yet when they're directly above us, they're very small and super intense because that's just... When you're underneath the center of the wave, then that's the most direct line from the projection in. It's holographic waves. That's, you've got to remember, everything on Earth of technology or of anything is a counterfeit. It's a lie against reality. They've already seen, they already know how it all works, and they're using what they know from seeing it all to invent the necessary tools for their end game.
Sam, you you keep referring to they, and I might have missed it at the beginning, but who is they? Is that people?
They would be the Nephilim.
And are they living amongst us, or are they outside?
Yeah, they're everywhere. They've been inventing this whole thing for 1,000 years. You know, they control, you know, like the Russians are, you know, the Russians were one of the last cultures to fall, and they're ingenious and know exactly what they're doing. They get into a government from the inside, and then they just start dismantling it. The Russian Tsar tried to put a stop to them, I think it was probably in the late 1800s, and succeeded in a European type union where the Russians succeeded. But they made a promise that they were going to get him, and they were going to kill him and all of his family, every one of them. And so they did. It was probably just before the First World War, I think. And they did. They went in, took him out. So Russia then fell to their, you know, that nothing stops them. The way they work is astronomically. Yeah. Yeah.
So is our existence as we know it, as by we, I mean people that don't read into it and understand it like you do, it's essentially like that movie, The Truman Show. We're just living in bliss and ignorance inside this big environment that's being controlled.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And, you know, the original cultures of all the countries that they've dominated, where they go in and destroy all of the indigenous cultures. Why? Because the indigenous people know. The indigenous people, all of those originals actually had knowledge of home, of where we live. And they, to some extent, knew how to wield the power that it can give us. Yeah. So they had to take them out. They're phenomenal. And then they make us, through the media, then they make us almost accept their behavior. Like we will see here in Australia on the media, I don't watch it now, but, you know, over the years, and they'll talk about the indigenous people and, oh, how we're giving them land rights. But then every 5 years they take that land, they divide it by half and only give them half. Then they don't fight, and they just keep doing this, and there's very few left. And they make us accept it. We think it's okay. We lose our heart. We lose our care. You know, our care for a fellow man is diminished. And once that happens, then we lose our strength, and we can't really fight them, because you've got to get together. That's why they talk about blue bloods, and that they must only, you know, breed within their family, and because they stick like glue together. They don't separate, where for us, we're all separated.
I know what you're saying in terms of the way we see things at the moment, and whether that's, I don't know what your thoughts on social media are, but there's two tribes. I do believe that. And in terms of there's people out there that believe that we are being intentionally divided, which is exactly what you're talking about there. There's this very divisive thing that we all kept fighting against, the silly little bits of nonsense by the different colors of skin, the different cultures and what have you, to distract us from the bigger picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you're talking about. So just a quick one then. So a slight deviation then from what we're talking about there. So we've had a question from a gentleman by the name of Stuart Willis. And he wants to know, do you think there are other planets that are flat? So first of all, what is our place in the solar system? Is there something out there, or is that just more nonsense?
Well, there's a bit of background noise, but the other planets are flat nonsense? Yes, it's just more trying to humiliate, trying to humorize, trying to make this whole concept of flat earth a joke. And I mean, it's the liar's only defense, because once you look in the sky, you cannot be convinced of anything else. So the biggest thing is to make it humorous, to try and make people feel guilty or ashamed of searching, seeking flat earth. I think that's interesting.
So the way that I contacted yourself was via Facebook. So there's a number of groups on there talking about the Earth is flat. And for a while, if I'm really honest, I didn't believe that there's anybody in those groups who actually believe that the Earth is flat. It just seemed like a bunch of people, or globies, as they're commonly referred to themselves as,
yeah,
who were trying to convince, it seemed to be just themselves, that the Earth is indeed a globe. What do you make of that, just as a point of interest? Because I find, and I found the interactions that I, to be fair, all of the people I interacted with, for the most part, believed that it was a globe. I find those interactions thoroughly, thoroughly frustrating.
Well, what I did, I spent 2 years, originally, I spent a lot of time just researching other truths. And, you know, this one, that one, this one, that one, that one, this one. And I was very happy with it. And I thought, yeah, I've done it. It's all done. Finished. Righto, what's next? And then at that particular time, 11 years ago, the internet were putting a thumbnail link up in the top right-hand corner of YouTube and other places for the flat circle, which is another lie, okay? It's flat, but it's not a circle. And so I went outside. I said, righto, because, you know, I believe in the Lord, in this ether, in the electricity that we live in. And I'm saying, that's it. I'm finished. Righto, what's next? And then that quiet voice again says, well, you haven't hit that thumbnail. You haven't hit flat Earth. Nah, don't need to. Nah, yeah, you got to. I went inside. I sat down in front of my computer and I went, and I hit that thumbnail. Well, shit, that just changed everything, you know. And 2 years I spent on the flat circle, but then I realized that that was a lie, because looking up the sun and the moon, it didn't equal what they were trying to tell us. I mean, and I tried to get people, go outside, for Christ's sake, look, do it yourself. And so then I went off on my own. I knew that I had to. There were so many liars. I knew then that there's different levels and narratives that they've set up to protect the truth. And so I did, and I put a couple of groups together, and I used to put teams together of people that I could trust. And if I couldn't trust them, you know, third strike, you're out. Because there's so many confusionists out there trying to get, oh, man, they're tricky as bugger. And then we went to work, you know. We had a high caliber. We had engineers. We had electrical engineers. We had zookeepers. We had, you know, high-class minds. And on all the continents. And Enoch won the book. And we went to work. And it was pretty mad journey, man, really. All the time arguing, night and day on the internet, you know. But what I did in the end is I burnt myself out, basically. And I just set up my own groups, Enoch One. That's it. And I protect them, where people can sit and have a quality conversation just like this, you know, and converse with each other. You don't have to, but the moment people start getting narcissistic, you know, and negative and angry, and then I just boot, bye, see ya, get out of here. And just keep it so the intellectual mind can work. So that's what I did years ago. And so I don't really go out on the wider internet anymore. I just stay in my couple of groups, and we just talk, you know, about the beautiful, wonderful place that we live. And because we know, we're very, very lucky that we actually know where we live and so forth. It changed everything for me. It changed everything.
Do you not then feel compelled, or the need maybe, to bring other people on that journey? Or is it just the satisfaction of you feel to yourself that the work is done, you have the evidence, and you're satisfied with that?
For me,
yes. You don't think there's a reason to bring other people along with you?
I don't think you can. Look, I already have. I have. I mean, I'm just on Facebook, and I deleted my YouTube and everything 2.5-3 years ago. And I had hundreds of hours of me just sitting talking, you know, as the passion's flowing out of me, the and why this happened, why they, but I just realized that in a world that's 7 billion, they say, and especially Western cultures, we're really only talking America, but I have had a presence. Enoch One done what it needed to do. It, you know, it produced reality for those people that want to find it. And so I did my work, you know. And essentially when I first started out, I wanted to know the truth. So because I wanted it with all my heart, then of course it was shown to me. But anyway, let me have a, just try and pull, get some sort of idea. That's really where you live. But I realized that it's just too hard. It's too hard for most people. When you start talking holographic waves, convex surface eyes, and what they do to bending our vision, it's too much for most people. You know, you start saying that eclipses are man-made. Well, they've put a lot of work into cartoons and in all cultures to make sure that the brainwashing is very heavy, that you just say, oh, look, eclipses are man-made, and people's mind just locks down. It goes into shutdown. Boom. It cannot, they cannot compute that information. So I did it. You know, I'm very satisfied. And on Facebook alone, I've probably got 10,000 people that, you know, that watch. And but I don't do a lot. You know, I might do one or two posts every couple of days and just relax, you know. And you always get those special people that were where I was 8 years ago and are so dedicated that I want to know, you know. Well, when you can hear that, when you can see a certain way people type, and then you can help them and just look here, look at this, look at that one, go outside, do this, do that, and boom, 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 and next thing you know, you get this wow factor from them, because all of a sudden the blinds lift off their eyes and they can see. So yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the conversations that Dave and I had. You know, we wanted to learn something. You know, it's something that we felt was important, that we need to be open minded and we needed to listen to the argument, because, like you say, you know, like the fella who rightly pointed out on our Instagram post earlier, you know, we are indoctrinated. We've been brought up to believe that the whole of our lives. So if you want to call it indoctrination, then maybe that's exactly what it is, because that's exactly what we've been taught to believe. Yeah. And for me, what I don't understand, and I'm still trying to get my head around it, Dave, and I don't know what your thoughts are, is what is the one thing that could convince you and I, or is the work that's been done to convince everybody else, and myself and Dave included, that it's a globe, is it that all-powerful that it would actually take dedication on our behalf to actually go and discover it? It's not something that we could be shown.
I can show you little tricks with the cosmology that you can't deny. Okay. That you just absolutely could not deny. That was my precept when I started the Enoch One groups. I wanted to show people how to go outside and show and prove it for themselves. Without, you know, and without that, you can't do it. You have to go outside. You have to do that work. I mean, even they indoctrinate us, brainwash us with how super intelligent these astronomers are and how we could not possibly understand what they're shoving down our throat. But yet when you do, like I said to you originally, I looked up and I thought, I've got to know what's going on up there. Holy shit. Straight away, I had this consuming feeling of, I can't. I'm not smart enough. I can't do that. And, you know, and this is how it works. But I did. And it's astounding. It is absolutely astounding. So here's one for both of you, for anyone. What you do is the moon's cycle is only, it goes 28 days, 28 days, 29 days. then 2 days conjunction where it just disappears. No one knows where it goes, but it disappears. Anyway, so you've got 28, 28, 29, plus two, so that's 30, 30, 31. Now, that's repeated four times. That gives you your 12 lunar cycles. But in each cycle, it has mainly, for the essence of showing people how to see, you draw a spot across even where you can stand and see a moon greeting you. At the lowest point, it doesn't matter if it's on top of buildings, doesn't matter, but catch it as low to the horizon as you can from that one single spot every night. You do that from the new moon. If you can then count seven, you'll count, it'll come up in one, let's see if I can do it. Yeah, it comes up in new moon, it'll go 1 day, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And it comes and jumps way over here. And then it'll do 7 days here, then jumps again. And literally from where it went down, it'll come up in a completely different spot. Like,
okay.
And you can do that. And it's there for anyone to do. And it's madness. Because you can't have this big, giant, huge, 244,000 mile away chunk of rock jumping 30 degrees. From one day to the next, 30 degrees, some jumps. And that does it in 7 day cycles. Seven. 28, 28, 29, 28. And there's one, yeah, I've already worked it. The 29 is another story. It all comes, now this is all perfect in chapter 73 of One Enoch.
Okay.
Ethiopian, Richard Lawrence. And it's perfect in there, chapter 73, and no other book on earth can possibly show physical movements that you can go witness that disprove absolutely everything you've ever been taught. Boom, like that.
Well, I'll give you my word. I will go and stand in my back garden. I will place something on the ground, and that's, I will it. Go and stand on that exact spot for the next 28 days just to observe that for myself. Is that something you'll be interested in doing, Dave?
Give it a go. Why not?
You'll be stunned. Really, you will be stunned. And then you could come, you could tell me, and then you've got to, as a man, because we have that ability to critical think and like a linear thought, like a machine. You've got to ask, how does it jump from one day to the next? What is happening that enables this thing to go and go from a completely different spot? There's a lot more going on outside of our vision that we have to back engineer to be able to understand. And it is just simply bloody incredible. And I mean, the symbology then starts opening up, like Michael Jackson's moonwalk, where he's walking forwards but going backwards.
Mm.
Because it's part of the machine also out there that they, Walter Russell knew, Nikola Tesla knew, they all knew, because they were all family. But they just play with us. They give us little snippets here, little symbols here. You know, it's pretty mad stuff, really. But to prove things, you can watch from the horizon, watch the brightest stars, watch them coming at you. They'll go real from where they rise, they'll come really fast at you. Then they start to slow down at about 25 degrees up. They'll slow down and then go, and then just slowly go over the top. Then as they're going to leave, they'll get about that 25 degree up from the horizon, and then phoom, they'll take off. And you can literally see them speed up. But, you know, I think when we all look, we don't sort of believe our eyes, and that's for sure we don't, because we've been taught not to believe our eyes. But most of us don't even know how our eyes work. Yeah, it's all in the heavens, guys. I mean, it really is, seriously. Have you ever seen some of the really high quality, good videos done by real people of sun and the moon in the clouds?
I don't think I have, no.
There's some rippers. I mean, seriously. I know one guy, he got it. It was about 6-7 years ago. And you know, the internet has played merry bloody hell with him. I mean, he keeps putting it up on YouTube, but I mean, they really have taken it to him in his personal life, even. because he's been so determined to keep this video up on the internet. But it's just wonderful when you see it and you can see that it's real and you can go and do it yourself. You know, I've got a P900, Nikon P900, anytime I want, morning or night, I can just get out there, zoom in. If the clouds are in the right spot, boom, there it is, right there in the clouds. Too simple. Too freaking simple.
Just a thought though, you mentioned there about that fella and how he's had his personal life attacked and his videos and everything taken down. Is that something you fear then, that I've been warned probably
about four times. That, okay. You know, last time was about 3 years ago, and I did actually realize then that, you know, not that I should just be quiet. I should just keep the information quietly in the Facebook. People that are meant to find me will. But yeah, I was told, I get people contact me in Messenger from time to time, and this particular one said, you know, Sam, you need to shut the fuck up. The bear is fucking big and you need to stop poking it. But that's it. That's all you get. And you've got to then sit back and think about it, I think, and just realize that it is. There's a massive big machine out there of deceit. And it doesn't like to be poked.
Do you think, Sam, that this whole thing that you look into and you try to educate people on, do you think it basically needs a rebrand? Do you think flat earth is, it coming back to that tinfoil comment that we mentioned at the start, that it's got this name which instantly makes people think crazy. And actually, from everything you've said, there's much more going on than just the earth is flat. It's everything else that's going on that's actually the problem. Because if the earth is flat, that's not a problem. It's everything else that's the problem.
Well, everything else is designed to just spread everything so thin that no one can really make a difference in any arena or any direction, because that's Babylon, Babel, that's confusion. We're living in the time of Babylon, of confusion. And this is how it works. That's how liars work best. They confuse everything, and they will always offer, and it's in their writing. I think it was the Zionist convention. It was in about the 1860s, 70s, and they actually put to minutes their meeting in America. Zionist, another name for the Nephilim bloodline. How they were going to proceed for the next 150 years, and it's a serious read. It's a serious read. And as they say in there, that, you know, anyone that sort of finds the truth, that we will make them seem crazy to the rest. And that's probably the nicest thing in there. And it talks about how they're going to control us with poisons and make us sick and weak and lethargic. It's a full design for the next 150 years, it was. I hope that's the answer, mate, to what you're asking. I lost track.
Well, it was. Well, you kind of explored it a bit more, but it was just, I guess, if you're shouting out there, the earth is flat, people zero in on that as a simple concept and then dismiss it. Whereas if you were saying amongst us are Nephilims, and they are controlling everything, and they're doing this, they're doing that, maybe people would engage more than just the headline, the earth is flat. It's probably too
easy. No, I think fluoride has fluoride, man. Fluoride, do not underestimate fluoride. You know, they talk about, I shouldn't say this probably, but the camps in the Second World War, I won't say anything more other than that. They didn't have who we thought were in there. They were actually Germans that were in there. And that particular time, they were doing massive testing on fluoride on the people in cages, you know, like animals. And they were using fluoride at different levels to work out how to subdue and keep everyone placid and unthoughtful, you know, just zombies. And from there, they proceeded to put it through all Western water supplies. and fluoride in foods. I mean, they've got kids brushing their teeth with that shit, and yet it's an acid. It's a freaking acid. God. But what it does to our mind is disastrous. It's disastrous. It just shuts it down. I've had very little in my life. I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons why my brain still sparks. It's because I grew up in the country on rainwater and so forth.
That's interesting. That is interesting because obviously here in the UK, you know, you pretty much get your water through the tap, and that, yeah, that tap water is indeed
full control.
Off flora. Yeah.
Full control.
So we have another question from Stuart, who's continuing to watch us, bless him. And he asks, do you think the Illuminati may be behind the conspiracy and misinformation? So, I mean, that is a question then in itself.
It's a question, but the further you go into revealing the truth, you realize that the Illuminati, which is just a tag word that was invented, maybe only 15 years ago, you know, into this present period of bullshit. It's just another narrative that they create just to keep our brains busy. And they invent a whole heap of stories and about Illuminati, the illuminated ones, you know. It's just another narrative just to keep your head busy. The real groups that anyone should be really looking into are the family old groups, like, you know, through Europe, the royals and that, some of the secret societies they're in, they're the ones where you should be paying attention, because that's where the real power behind it all is. I mean, Orsini is a name that pops to my mind in Italy. They're one of the oldest families of Nephilim bloodline. That they virtually own the Roman Catholic Church. It's privately owned, you know. And yeah, it's mad stuff when you do a little bit of searching around on the internet and you'll look for pictures of the family, and you will be left just shaking your head, looking at them, thinking, is that a boy or is that a girl? Is that a girl trying to be a boy or a boy trying to be a girl? They're that gone, you know. It's pretty crazy stuff. And this is what is in control of this whole paradigm, you know.
What is the motivation? The Nephilim's controlling the, okay. Is the motivation that we're a game, or do we need to exist for them to exist?
Well, they needed us to do the damage that we're doing to the earth. This time around, they're using oil. They're using the oil as the tool of weakening the earth's magnetic field. They need to weaken the earth's magnetic field. And so they needed us to breed out of control. You know, and this is why they demoralized our instincts of, you know, sex, proper sex, not this crap that we go on with, and breed out of control. And now look, I mean, how many cars are there driving on the earth every morning, every night, every day, all filling up with fuel, trucks? We're doing some serious damage now. So they needed to breed us out of control to achieve this. They couldn't do it on their own. But now they're done. They're finished with us, basically. Now we've done what they set out to do some, you know, 1,000 years ago. They work. This is a long time done. It's not 5 seconds worth.
There's a school of thought that old Mr. Bill Gates himself is bought into the idea of population control. You know, and you can look back on the events of the last couple of years and believe that was part of it or not. That's entirely up to yourself, and I'm not going to put out there which one I believe. But is that something? Is that, you know, would he theoretically be a part of the problem? Would he be, what, you know, a part of the you know, this family of people?
Yeah, he's actually a good example of the Nephilim breed. When you look at his facial characteristics, when you see the Mayan tablet, they call it a calendar. but it's not. That's actually a cosmology. That's a 2D representation of a 3D picture. And that face that's in the middle as you're looking down on that tablet is actually, it's got a hooked nose. It's, they always have slightly hooked nose, and they'll always, sometimes their left eye, it's like a genetic trait. I used to breed horses and cows and dogs and cats, and they'll have a left eye slightly lower, and their skin is off-white. It's not yellow like an Asian. It's not white like I'm Caucasian. It's off-white. And, well, Bill Gates is actually a good, but you'll see all the royals. You can see it. Once you start looking, you'll go, holy shit. And it becomes pretty damn obvious who the family members. It really is. Yeah.
Do you have any idea of the numbers?
Well, in against us, I mean, let's just say, you know, 7 billion. In against us, they may number in total, you know, maybe 30 million, you know. And they're all strategically placed in all your communities. And if they don't personally get involved sort of thing, they've got all your Freemasonry and so forth puppets all set to do all of the ridiculous stuff for their money, honey. So I reckon, you know, out of, say, so about 30 million or total. But even that gets more complicated too, Dave, because the reason why they took that 12 hours from, well, 6 to 12, from the Atlantic and put it out to the Pacific was, yeah, to get rid of the east and west rims, as they call it. But it was also Atlantis and Sumeria disappeared. So that's why they had to get rid of the Library of Alexandria, because that had all of our true story in it. And so then right now they have, and this is where in movies they'll often refer to it as Tomorrowland or something like that. There is a good movie, Tomorrowland. And they have two hidden continents, because there should be seven great islands in the Great Sea. But once you can get the evidences and take away that and create the square earth, the four corners, you realize that these two continents go pop, pop and come back. Because you've got to bring that as 12 hours and put it back where it belongs. Otherwise, the clock doesn't work. And so they've actually got two hidden continents. This is their staging. Like they call this whole thing as it's just a play. It's just a game. It's just a movie. So you've got to have a staging area. You've got to have somewhere behind to plan and build all of these amazing tricks, like UFOs, you know. There's no UFOs, guys. That's the Nazis from the Second World War that never stopped. They're the ones flying the bastards. And I mean, they did that pre to the Jesus reset, you know, the Vedic, what did they call it? Vimana. They had them back then called Vimana. Well, we're right there. We're doing it again right now. So they've got two hidden continents. So that 30 million, say in amongst us, manipulating us, could be much larger from those two hidden continents, you know.
That's like the head office where they're controlling
everything. See, they're always diffusing, and they're pointing the finger here, over there, look. But the truth is, a lot of people will tell you that Kazakhstan, on the visible earth that we see, that Kazakhstan would be the home of the Nephilim. You just look up Astana, the capital of Kazakhstan, and just look at the word Astana, which, you know, play with it a bit and you're going to get Satan. This is a Nephilim stronghold on earth that we see. They also talk about Switzerland, Sweden, that is and Russia, Gog Magog, as centers for the trouble here on that we see. But it's not. They've got the staging areas. They've got Sumeria and Atlantis, both still there. One's on the other side of South America, and one is right smack bang right in the middle of the Atlantic. Still there, because that 12 hours has to go back in. Otherwise, the clock doesn't work. So Yeah, look, we're in for an amazing ride, guys. I mean, no shit. We are in for something else in the future. No, stuff that most people are going to just, they're not going to know how to compute. What they're doing at the moment, I think, is only kids' games compared to what they can pull off.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, based on everything you told us tonight, I totally agree. I totally agree. It's a very, very, it's a very scary future that's ahead of us. Just a couple of comments I want to pick up on that people have been shouting out. So I want to say hello to Leonie. And this is how you know that we've pitched something out there that's interesting. Leonie's a very intelligent man, so I'm glad he's joined us tonight. And then Paul is wondering as well, Paul Kelly, who he has a podcast as well, and he was wondering if you'd watched the Netflix documentary Behind the Curve and what you made of it.
Nah, I wouldn't waste my time.
Nah, I thought that might be the answer.
Nah, that is, every one of them are just complete bullshit arts. The sun doesn't. Oh, look, nothing works on that flat circle. Nothing works. Zero. They're all just clowns, really. They're just paid clowns to, again, humor it, to make flat Earth look stupid. And nothing works on that flat circle. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, there's the thing then. So when we look at the idea of a flat Earth, one of the things that most commonly comes up, obviously, if we think about it as a globe, then it's circular, you can pass all the way around it. However, if it's flat, then it has an edge. What does, just, you know, and I'm getting to a danger here of, and I want to be one of those folks that try and just disprove things, but I am curious as to what your thoughts are at the edge and how that would work.
It's amazing. We've got this fully discovered, honestly, fellas, you know, from all the books, the Quran, anywhere, everywhere, Rumi, Enoch one. Without that PDF, without that book, we would have been lost. The east and west edges, as you would call them, are called, the occult call them the rim. That's called RIM, rims. East and west are the rims. North and south are the edges. And that's them. That's their language. They've told me. but the east and west rims, you know, you've got, was it Pacific Rim, the movie? Pacific Rim. Then you've got Battleship is another one where it was done on the western edge of Hawaii. And they had the Rim Pack Games, Pac-Man, because, you know, holographic suns are Pac-Man, Rim Pack Games. So the east and west. And what it has, it's in the Book of Job, actually. One of my favorite books, Job. And he says, who was it that created the channels for the overflowing of the water, the seas? And you wouldn't believe it, guys. I was sitting there banging my brains over this one little issue. This is what happened to me over the years. I wouldn't rest unless I found the answer. And one night I went in, I was going to the toilet. I'm standing there and I'm having a pee. And I looked down at the toilet bowl. I thought, that's a simple design, isn't it? Yet you've got a tank of water up here, then you've got this little S shape like this, and the water does this natural balance through it that it, you drop a load in there, you, that washes everything out, and boom, you've got your water level back again. Well, at the edge, at the rims, there's four channels on the north and south side of the east-west rim, which have these overflowing channels and it's naturally balancing, so the water levels will never rise. They can't rise. Impossible. It's because there's a naturally balancing system, like a trickle filter in a fish tank. No different, really. A trickle filter in a fish tank. We live in our home is actually Jerusalem is the name of the prism of our home. That's one of the names they use. Because Jerusalem is complete bullshit. Because there was no J previous to 600 years ago. So there's no Jesus. There's no Jerusalem. There's no Jew. There's no... just by a simple... And they try and belt the shit out of me, you know, over But it's really just so simple. There was no J previous to 600 years ago. That's it. Argument's over. There is no argument. So what are all of these words that start with J? Where'd they come from? So one of the names for our home is Jerusalem. And I say that because it's funny that it's so close to Aquarium, Jerusalem, Aquarium. So out on the rims, yeah, you've got overflowing channels. Hawaii and Fiji would be the two closest to the rims on the east and west side. That's why even with Hawaii, they have to have their own compass. They make their own compass on Hawaii because a compass brought from the United States or anywhere else doesn't work because they're so close to the Western Wall and the rings around us, Lord of the Rings, because of these two rings that are going around us gyroscopically, about 7.7 terahertz spinning at. Their compasses, because it's only just a little metal, iron metal filing on the end of the compass that like pulls to north. But if you take a compass from below the equator down, then they put the iron filing on the south end so that it pulls to the south. But they always, oh, but it'll always point north. But out on Hawaii, they actually need to glue that little piece of iron filing on the western needle so that it swings around but still holds true to north, south, east, west. It's all really smart tricks. It's all a big game of just, they make things so complicated that people can't see. But really, the answer's always pretty damn simple. That's probably why I got it, because yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So that book, then, the book that you first mentioned, then that book of Enoch, then,
yep,
is that something that everybody who's listening to this podcast needs to read and just just start their journey there?
Yes, absolutely. But it must be the Richard Lawrence, because I put a team together to find the very first translation. In 1882, I think it was, there was the first release. But you can't read it, not properly. But the 1883, yes, you can. You can read it. But you've always got to remember that they're covering the truth with English. English is a nasty, nasty, nasty magic language. You know, like good morning. Morning. You know, I always try and say g'day. But many things. But yes, 1883, Richard Lawrence, 1 Enoch.
That's interesting.
And study. Well,
we like to keep these episodes to around about an hour. And normally the following day, I will go and edit them. But I'm not going to edit this one. I am going to put it all out there so that you can't dispute anything that we've talked about. There'll be nothing from everything. The live version that's going out tonight will be exactly mirrored in the audio that we release when this one goes out. So I think that's important that we do that. I really do. I don't want to be, especially with us being English, we can't be accused of any obfuscation with our language. So, Dave, what have you made out tonight? Like, have you enjoyed this as much as I have?
Because there's no way of knowing what was going to come from an episode when you get somebody who's a flat earther. But is that a derogatory term, calling you a flat earther? I don't even know that.
I think we're all flat earthers. We're all flat earthers. In that case, just some of us don't know.
Okay, in that case, then, I didn't know what to expect when getting a fallow flat earther on the podcast. and there's a absolute huge amount of information in your head tying all of this together.
And you can probably hear it when I'm talking that the information actually, I want to fire out so much information, but I've got to choose one.
It could probably, my sense is that you could probably keep talking for an entire day and still keep going. And as Adam says, it's been really interesting.
I do get people from time to time that come and live with me. They want to come and just stay with me and talk to me. And they usually stay, you know, a few weeks, a month, and they walk away different. Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine. And same as Dave said, I'll mirror what Dave says in terms of I had no idea really what to expect. I have a number of questions, most of which turn out to be very largely irrelevant because we went down a path that I wasn't expecting, something I knew nothing about. So I will thank you for spending this time with us. Well, it's very, very early in the morning there in Australia, so I really appreciate that.
It's been a good morning,
that,
though, fellas.
Yeah.
I just like your attitude. You know, your attitude that there's not the condemnation. There's, you know, you're not judging, but genuinely curious. And those sort of people, I think, give us hope. You know, that I can say to you, get that spot, look at the moon, and who knows, you might contact me again in a month's time after a cycle and go, holy shit, Sam, can we talk some more?
Well, I promise you this, I will. That is one thing I will do. So, Sam, if you'd like to leave us with one final thought for our listeners as well, because Stuart's just chimed in and said how much he's enjoyed tonight and how he's found it very interesting.
I would say to people, souls, remember soul is solar, soul. The sun is our center. The sun is everything to us. It's not going to hurt you. It's everything to us. The law, the Lord of electricity, the Lord of spirits, law. Just another, they spell a word a different way than what it's truly saying. It's the law. There's law in here that is far greater, far more powerful than any man-written law. But you've got to love the truth with all your heart to find the key. It's like a game, just like a game. And just know that every single soul out there that can push themselves to inner standing, the whole truth, you then you move on to getting a key to the next level. That's what it's all about. That's the steps of Ahaz. Yeah. And keep up the good fight, guys. I mean, we can't allow this whole thing to just go down the gurgler because, you know, some selfish, self-centered psychopaths think that that's what they want. Well, there must be an answer. We've just got to find it. And we are the power. We are the power in here. But I heard one quote from Buddha that caught my attention, and it was, a master always knows that the most action comes from inaction. So what we're telling the universe from inside ourselves is where I believe we're going to find the answer to this whole conundrum. All right.
That's deep.
So that's enough.
That's a deep way to leave this episode, I think. But again, very valid. I'm a big fan of the Buddha, the Gautama Buddha. I love his learnings. I think there's a lot to be taken from those. And I think when you start reflecting on that sort of stuff and actually looking at the inner meaning, and maybe that in itself is a deflection and we're looking for an alternative meaning. But for me, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for opening our minds, for presenting an argument that is often, like you say, derided for reasons of obfuscation. But thank you very much for taking us seriously and trusting in us that we would listen to you, because, you know, there's plenty of folks out there that perhaps wouldn't. So I really, really appreciate you spending
time. Well, and that's another thing that I found in the beginning. I'm not an entertainer. I see entertainers as containers. I chose way back at the beginning, look, whenever I do a podcast or a live video, I just be me, just be myself and allow people to see that, because then I think the chances of their mind cutting in and stopping them from hearing me are less, and it may help, you know, just to see somebody being natural. So yeah, all good.
Oh, we appreciate that. And we're going to say thank you and good night to all our listeners as well.
Have a good day, guys.